Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. We're going to be moving around a little bit today, and I put a lot of the verses up on the screen, so you might want to have to just flip all over your Bible. But I want to think about a challenge. As we have trusted Jesus Christ, our Savior, we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. As we think about a new year, it's a challenge. And when we think about living the Christian life, people say this, is the Christian life hard? I say the answer is no. It's impossible. You cannot live the Christian life in our own power. It has to be lived in God through us. So we're going to look at several passages this morning, sort of as a comfort and as a challenge. A comfort that God is faithful, the challenge is that we need to keep on keeping on and keep on going. So as we look at it this morning, we're going to talk about our comfort, how that God is faithful, and then our challenge. How can we keep going as we start a new year, as we want to make an impact for Christ? So there's some great things there. Well, it is a new year, and everything is new. It starts over, and, you know, I have a little book that I write in. I usually start it over, and then I have Bible readings, and they all, of course, go back and start at Genesis and take you through. So it's kind of fun. When you think about a new year, it's exciting. Everything, there's New Year's resolutions. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm not going to drink Diet Cokes anymore. I'm going to do that. You know, I'm coming up with all those things. I mentioned it in our Grow Group study that, you know, this is that time of year that you go to the gym that you always go to. I go 4 days a week, and I'm going to go tomorrow, and I guarantee you there'll be people in there I've never seen before, you know, and it's just full of people, and you go, good gracious. But you also realize that when it's February, they won't be there. I mean, that's the problem is it's a new year, and we all start off, we get all excited, and we say, I'm going to do all these things, and then we don't. And you know, it's that way sometimes with our fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. When we trusted Christ as Savior, it was incredible. We said, no, I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven. I can now understand the Bible. And I'm so excited about all these things. But then as the years go by, as time goes by, we live in a fallen world. And in fact, we are fallen people in a fallen world. And it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy not to see growth. It's easy to say, I don't think I'm any different than I used to be. But here's one thing I want us to do. I want us to never lose the fact of God's plan. God's plan is to reconcile us to Himself. He has a plan to do that. In fact, we call it the story of the Bible, how the perfect God brings sinful man back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've been in any of our classes and studies, you know that's one of the themes of our church, that we know the story of the Bible is how this perfect God takes sinful man, brings us back to Himself using His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. It's reconciliation. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you look there with me just for a second, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17, he says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, new things are come. And then he says this, all these things from God who has done what? Who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the story of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, God brings us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. God says, I'm going to, you, like sheep have gone astray, each one your own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after me. He says, I'm going to bring you to myself using my Son, Jesus Christ. If you notice in verse 19, he explains it even more. He says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And we could look at it this way. God has reconciled us to Himself, and He's not counting our sins. You understand that all your sins aren't counted against you? They're taken off of you. And where are they? They're put on Christ. He says, not counting our trespasses against us, because the sins of the world, our sins, were placed on Jesus Christ. And so as we look at our lives starting off a new year, we think, wow, God has reconciled us to Himself. He has taken Jesus Christ and took our sins upon Christ. And therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to represent Him. That's verse 20. And so we are in a fallen world, and there's a spiritual battle. And let me remind you of this. Sometimes we think the enemy is people. The enemy's not people. Even if they don't agree with us, even if there's some evil people, the enemy is Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he affects the fallen world, and the fallen world affects people. So we are in a spiritual battle. And sometimes you want to give up. Sometimes you just want to quit, and you say, I can't do this. But as we look at it this morning, here's the challenge, and there's two things I want you to think about, that God is faithful. We're going to show you four things that shows you God is faithful for us. And then we're going to talk about that we need to keep on going and not quit. And we're going to look at four things there. So we'll go through it fairly quickly. I think you'll like it, but I think it'll be a challenge to us. So let's start with the fact that God is faithful. We see the faithfulness of God. We realize that when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, He's faithful to save us. He's faithful to love us. All of these things. In fact, our Grow Group study that we're doing this so far, it's going to be about another 5 or 6 weeks, is we're talking about how God has given us all that we need. In fact, think about this. God is faithful to provide, Philippians 4:19. God is faithful to protect, Hebrews chapter 13. God is faithful to supply all that we need to live for Him. In fact, this is a verse we used in our Grow Groups this morning. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, to live a godly life. And so God has set us up. Basically, He is so faithful. He loves us. He set us apart, those kind of things. So I want you to think about this. So how is God faithful? So here's the first thing. He is faithful to fulfill His plan for our life. Now, you could say, well, what is His plan? Now, every individual person, he has a plan. But then there is an overall aspect, and I want you to see this. He has promised to us our eternal salvation and to make us like Christ and bring us to Himself. So I want you to think about it. He's not only promised that He would give us eternal life and save us, He's promised that He would shape us and bring us and help us grow, and then eventually He would bring us to Himself. So He has promised to save us, to make us like Christ, and to bring us to Himself. And He's going to do that. As we go through life, we'd say, well, I don't feel like I'm growing, or I don't feel like this. Look, God's working in our lives. Look at this in 1 Thessalonians. He says this, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you, set you apart. The study that I'm doing in SBI for the semester is called Being a Saint. That means to be sanctified and set apart. This verse talks about it. It says, the God Himself sanctify you entirely, your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, His plan is that He not only saves you, He sets you apart, He conforms you to the image of His Son, and one day He's going to come and get you. He's preserved us completely, we are secure, and we're protected. Listen, God is faithful to take care of you. God is faithful to save you. He is faithful to help you grow. He is faithful one day to bring you to Himself. You know, that's what we're looking for, right? We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And He could come get us at any time. He will complete His plan of our salvation. So when we talk about the faithfulness of God, the first thing is He's faithful to fulfill His plan, save you, help you grow, bring you to Himself. There's a second thing, and that is He is faithful to keep His promises. Now, only one, there's so many promises, I didn't even want to talk about them all. I just wanted to talk about one. He promised eternal life. Now, you've heard me say this a lot. In fact, you're probably tired of me talking about the fact that He gives us eternal life and we shall never perish, and that we need to be very clear on that. But it is so true that how many people in this community do not know that truth? He is faithful to keep His promises, and He has promised to us eternal life. Our eternal life and our eternal salvation with Jesus Christ is not based on us at all. It is based on His faithfulness, not us. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. God has a promise, and that He will keep His promises, and that He gives to us eternal life. You get eternal life the moment you believe. If there's any of you in this room that are confused at all, I want you to understand something. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're actually trusting in Him to give you life forever, to give you eternal life. And the moment you trust Him, that exact moment, He gives you an eternal relationship with Him. It's called eternal life. That's what John 5:24 says. Whoever believes has, present tense, the moment you believe, you have eternal life. Some people think, okay, I trusted in Jesus, but I don't get eternal life till I die. And so in between the time I trusted Him and the time I die, something could happen. No, the moment you trust Him, you have eternal life. This is one of His promises. By the way, in 2 Timothy 2:11-13, He gives a little poem, and His poem is this. If you're not faithful, He is. So it doesn't matter. In fact, it says in verse 13, if we are faithless, if we don't live up to living for him, if we don't even do right, he remains faithful. What was his promise? I give you what? Eternal life. And he'll never deny himself. And so it is so powerful. He always does what he promises. Romans chapter 4, God is faithful to fulfill whatever his promises. And so the second aspect is that he keeps his promises. So the first, he's going to complete his plan. His plan is to save you, grow you, and bring you to himself. His second thing is he keeps his promises. The one that we highlighted is eternal life. There's a third thing. He is faithful in the times of temptation. Now, every one of us in this room are tempted all the time. We have a flesh, which is a natural bent to sin. We're in a fallen world. The devil controls the fallen world. The fallen world affects us all the time. Temptation is not sin. We can be Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So whenever you're tempted, that doesn't mean you're sinning. Now, temptation can lead to sin. If you fall, if you give into it, you fall. But I want you to understand, he is faithful in times of temptation. Look at this verse. It's a little bit long, but look at what it says. There's no temptation has overtaken you but such as common to man. You can't say nobody's ever been tempted like this. Everybody's been tempted. Okay? Then he says, and God is what? Faithful. Two things. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That's the first thing. Second thing is, with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape. So you understand that when temptation comes in our lives, he is faithful, first of all, that he will not ever allow any temptation that is beyond what you could handle. And second is, he will always provide a way out. Temptation, not beyond what you're able, but God provides a way out. So that's why when we say something like, I couldn't help it, the truth is you can help it. Because he's not going to allow any temptation to come into your life that's beyond what you can handle. And second is, he will always give you a way out. We did a study last semester on the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, the patriarchs. And Joseph got tempted by Potiphar's wife. And what did he do? He ran out. The temptation was strong, but God had him a way out. And that's the way it is for all of us. And so he's not going to tempt us beyond what we're able, but provide a way out. So when it comes, just remember, okay, Lord, this is pulling me, but I know that it's not greater than I could stand. And second is, you're going to find me a way out. There's a fourth thing, and this is when we fail. Because sometimes we yield to the temptations and we sin. God is faithful even when we sin, even when we fall. What does he do? How is he faithful? Well, first, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've talked about this a lot. We talked about it in grow groups. We talked about it in our classes. I want to remind you of this just so you can get this. To confess sin means to tell on yourself. It's the Greek word homologeo, which means to speak the same thing. So to confess your sins is to say the same thing God would say. If you lie, you say, Lord, I lied. I know it's wrong. I lied. That's confession. You tell on yourself. When you can tell on yourself, he is faithful. Notice, God is faithful to forgive us our sins, the ones we confess, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even the sins we don't remember. See, this is why God is so great. Because, I mean, I can't even tell you the number of sins I've already done today, right? Can you? And so I might remember one, and I confess my sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive me of that sin, and also to cleanse me from what? All unrighteousness. He's so good. He's so faithful. And so when we think about it, he's faithful to carry out his plan. That's to save us, to make us like Christ, and bring us to himself. He's faithful to keep his promises. The one we highlighted was eternal life. He is faithful in temptation that will not be beyond what we could handle, but provide a way out. And he's faithful even when we sin. He forgives and he cleanses. Wow. So as we start this new year, we think about, good gracious, he's not only saved me, but he's bringing me like Christ, and he's going to bring me to himself, and he's giving me eternal life. And whenever temptation comes my way, I don't have to fall to it. And if I ever do, I confess it, and he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. What a great God. With that in mind, then we got to keep going. This year, we got to live for Jesus Christ. We got to make an impact for Christ. Don't you want your life, because you don't know how long you're going to live. Don't you want your life this year to make an impact for Jesus Christ? So let's keep going. And this is the second part. And let's keep going. Let's don't quit. And look at this verse. It says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I love that because steadfast means just keep on keeping on. Unmovable means don't go to the sides. You know, sometimes we get off track. He's saying, look, you just keep on keeping on. Don't get off on the track. Always overflowing. The word overflowing, abounding, means to like you're pouring water in something and you're not watching what you're doing. And all of a sudden it's spilling out because you poured too much in. That's what that word means, abounding in the work of the Lord. What are we supposed to do this year? We're supposed to be steadfast. We're not going to get off the track. We're going to be overflowing in the ministry of the Lord. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside everything that's going to slow us down, and let's run the race with endurance, keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. You got a new year. All the stuff in the past, you can say, that's in the past. As Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on to the things that are ahead. That's what we've got to do. If we dwell on our failures, if we dwell on all the things we've done wrong or not done right or not done what we should, we're going to just stay right there. Satan loves that. But if we say, listen, forgetting the things that are behind, God loves me. He's got a plan for me. He's given me eternal life. He's there when the temptation comes. He's there if I were to sin. So what I want to do now is I want to live for him. And so what do? Let's don't quit. Why? Because we're being renewed spiritually every day. Now, we don't always understand that, and it doesn't always look that. But look at this right here. Therefore, do not lose heart. Don't quit. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Listen, outwardly, physically, the longer you live, the worse it gets. Listen, I'm a living testament of that. You can't run like you used to, can't jump like you used to. You reach your arm up and you go, I just hurt my shoulder. You know, and you go, how could I do that? And, you know, it's your outward body is decaying. That's his plan, by the way. If your body didn't decay, you'd never want to go to heaven. You'd say, I think everything's okay down here. We don't even know how good it is up there, but we think it's good down here. But he says, no, your outer part's decaying. But look, your inner man, spiritually, you're being renewed every day. He empowers us. He energizes us, physically getting weaker, spiritually getting stronger. He is helping us grow spiritually daily. That's why it's important to read the Bible. That's why it's important to memorize the Bible. That's why it's so important to have so-called your quiet time and to study and to connect, connect with fellow believers, because this is how you grow spiritually. So even in the midst of this fallen world, and you say, I don't feel as good as I used to feel. I'm not even sure I'm growing. The truth is, God is working in your life. Don't quit. He's renewing you spiritually every day. The second thing, don't quit because he's going to reward us. He's going to reward you. When you live for Jesus Christ, he's going to reward you. Look at this right here. And let us not lose heart. Same thing. Don't quit. In doing good, don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap, be rewarded, if we don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't quit serving. Don't quit doing things. Sometimes you do something for somebody, they don't even say thank you. Well, don't say, okay, if they're not going to say thank you, I'm not going to do anything. No. Listen, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for his honor and glory. You're doing it so that God, one day when you stand before him, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. So don't lose heart in doing good. Because he's going to reward us. We'll stand before, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the rewarding stand, that we might be rewarded for the things we've done in this body, whether good or worthless. Rewards are often overlooked. There are many Christians who have never been taught in their life about rewards. They've never been told that why should they live righteously and godly in a fallen world is because one day they'll stand before their Savior and he'll say, well done. So don't quit. The third thing, don't quit because he's training us. He's working in our lives. All the hard stuff. Many of you played sports, or even if it was, if you played an instrument or something like that, you had to practice. And if you had a piano teacher or something, I remember I didn't take piano. I can't do anything like that. I can play the radio, but that's about it. But anyway, I watched my girls do piano lessons, and they would say, come in, you got to do this, got to keep doing this. And you go, I don't want to keep doing that. You got to keep doing this. And when I coach football, I mean, I had wide receivers. I said, okay, we're going to run this. We're going to run this. And they'd say, coach, we're doing this a lot. I said, yeah, we are. We are. Just to get you in shape. But back in my day, you had to get people in shape. You don't have to get them in shape anymore because they never leave. But nowadays, in the old days, you had to get them into shape. And so you had to train them. Look at this right here. Have you forgotten the exhortation was addressed to you as sons, as children of God? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. The word discipline there doesn't mean like you got into trouble. It means training. It's the same as if you were training an athlete. He said, don't regard lightly the training of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. The idea there is, listen, don't give up when God is training you. He's causing you to trust him. He's causing you to rest in him. Sometimes he brings things in our lives. Count it all joy when you fall into what? Various what? Trials, because the testing of your faith works patience. God allows things to come in our lives so you'll learn to trust him, that you'll grow as a believer. So don't give up when things happen. Don't quit. He is conforming us. But it's both for discipline, for sin, and training for growth. And listen, he is conforming us to the image of his son. He is training us to make us like Christ. Let me tell you, I never ran distance races. I ran short races. I didn't want to run distance. But one time they told us, you're going to have to run the entire golf course, everybody, whether you're a distance runner or not. And I thought, I don't want to run that long. I'm going to have to tell you, it was tough. It was tough for a person who usually runs 100 to 200 to run 2 or 3 miles. But coach said, this is what you got to do. Well, God says, I'm allowing this to train you, to discipline you, to strengthen you. He is conforming us to his son. So we have seen that he is renewing us every day. He will reward us. He is training us. And there's one more I want you to think about. Don't quit, because he gives us the strength to live, the strength to serve him. I love this verse. Isaiah 40, 31, most of you know it. It's a passage from the Old Testament, but it says this. Those who wait for the Lord will gain what? New strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. When you see the word wait upon the Lord, don't picture it like you're going to sit over in a chair. I'm just going to wait for him to do something. This word means I'm like the door, like I'm his servant. He's the master, and I'm like this. Just tell me what you want me to do. Just tell me what you want me to do. That's what wait there means. Those who are waiting on the Lord, he's going to give us the strength. We can fly. We can run. We can serve him in his strength, not our strength. See, if it's in our strength, it's worthless. If it's in his strength. See, he supplies. See, in John 15, 5, apart from him, we can do nothing, but in Christ, Philippians 4, 13, we can do all things. How do we live the Christian life? How do we live this? It's God's strength through us. Not our power, but God's power in and through us. Don't give up. It's his strength, not yours. It's God working through you. So think about this. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. When I coached at Mississippi State, Coach Tyler was the head football coach. He came there in 1972. I came in 73, right after he had become the head coach. And we had a saying, we put it up everywhere. It says, keep on keeping on. In other words, don't stop, just keep on keeping on. So what do? Keep on keeping on. Why? Don't quit this year. Why? Because he's the one spiritually renewing us. He's the one that will reward us for our service. He is the one that trains us, prepares us, disciplines us, getting us ready, helping us to serve him. And finally, he is the one that strengthens us. He gives us the power to serve. Realize, as we seek to live for Christ in this fallen world, we have these great truths. So let me give you the applications that I want you to think about it. First of all, remember that God is faithful. He's faithful. And what's he faithful to do? First of all, to fulfill his plan. You know what he's going to do with you? Not only has he saved you, he gave you eternal life. He's going to take you through this life, conforming to the image of his son. And then he's going to bring you to himself, that where he is, you will be too. Most of you know John 14, 6, or 14, that passage where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many what? Many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, he's going to fulfill his plan to save you, to change you, and to bring you to himself. He is faithful. He is faithful to keep his promises. And the one we touched on this morning is the promise of eternal life. If any of you in this room, all of you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you should never one time ever doubt your salvation. Jesus Christ died for you, paid for your sins, rose again, conquering death, and is given to you the moment you believed eternal life. It is an eternal relationship. It cannot end. You should never say, I hope I'm going to make it. You have eternal life. That's his promise. The third, he provides in temptation. He does. When it comes our way, it's never going to be something more than you can handle, and he's going to find a way out. And then last, he's going to deal with our sin. And we do that all the time, don't we? Don't we need this one? I mean, he's so faithful that he says, look, even when you sin, if you confess it, I will take care of you. I will forgive you and cleanse you. God is faithful. The second part is, let's not quit knowing the following things. Let's not quit knowing he renews us. Outwardly, it's getting worse and worse. And let me tell you, it doesn't get better. It just keeps going that other way. But inwardly, he's renewing us every day. That's why you can have excitement. I remember Prof. Hendricks used to say that Christians are supposed to be joyous. And he said, I wish somebody would tell their faces that, right? Because sometimes Christians, we don't live with the excitement of who we are. You're a child of God. You have eternal life. God's going to use you. He's giving you spiritual gifts. He's giving you the Bible. He's giving each other. We get to live for the creator of the whole world and the savior of the whole world. And we go around like this. I just don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Prof. Hendricks used to say somebody would come in and he'd say, what's going on? And they'd say, oh, I'm okay under the circumstances. And he'd say, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get out from under them. Listen, he renews us every day. Get some excitement about who you are and how God's going to use you to touch lives for Jesus Christ. The second thing is, remember, he's going to reward us when you stand before him. What do you want to hear him say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Third, he trains us. Now, I don't especially like that, right? Because I didn't like running. But you know what he says? You're going to be like me. If you're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you're going to take some training. And so he's doing that. And don't quit, because he also gives us the power to serve him. May we rest in our God as we keep on keeping on serving our God and Savior, remembering that he is faithful.